الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بعثت لأتم مكارم الأخلاق أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله المولان العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a complete and perfect way of life. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ Allah Rabbul Izzat informs us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a very high level of akhlaq. His character, his dealings, his way of life, his social life, every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beautiful, is excellent. In the hadith that I quoted, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْرَاقِ That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent me to perfect, to complete the high level of character. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us the ummatis, the beautiful way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that brought people to Islam was more than when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waged jihad and went out in the battle. So there is a notion amongst the people, amongst the general masses in the West, that Islam spread by force, Islam spread with the sword, Islam spread because of all the jihad that were waged by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they don't know that before waging jihad, there are many conditions where da'wat is presented to the people, and only after certain conditions, if they refuse and they do not accept the different conditions, then only jihad becomes compulsory. But if you look in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the various incidents, the various sahaba radiallahu anhu as well, in their lives, their incidents as well, then we'll find that hundreds, if not thousands of people accepted Islam just by the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Generally, in Rabiul Awwal, people speak about the various aspects of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But beloved friends, akhlaq is such a thing that is not only reserved for the month of Rabiul Awwal. It's something that on a day-to-day basis, if we apply it into our lives, beautiful character, beautiful way of life, the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this itself is a great means of da'wat for the people. More than our talks, bayans, more than our advices, more than our literature, the people want to see a practical Islam. They want to see a beautiful way of life. They want to see that way of life which is easy, simple for them to follow. So if you look at just one incident from the life of a Sahabi, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the son-in-law, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once he was in battle, and he was on the chest, sitting on the chest of a disbeliever, and about to kill him, finish him off. And this disbeliever, this kafir, realized that now my life has come to an end, there is no way out for me. So to spite the incident, to spite Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, to make matters worse, he spits in the face of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Now put ourselves in that situation, that now we are about to do something, and someone does this. Now how much more angry will become, how much more hatred will come into our hearts, how much our egos will get boosted now, and we want to take revenge, or we want to do whatever we want to do. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala immediately gets off this person's chest, and he lets him go free. He lets him go. So this person is also surprised that 2 seconds ago you were about to take my life. Now suddenly I spit on your face and suddenly you let me go. What is the matter? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that when I was about to kill you, it was for the pleasure of Allah Rabbul Izzat. It was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. There was no other ulterior motives. It was only to Allah must be happy because you disobeyed, you did not fulfill the criteria. Now it was time, yeah, right now I was to kill you. But you see, the moment you spat on my face, into power, they came into force, and now my nafs said, that this person has now spat on your face, now you must make sure you kill him properly. One shot, you must kill him or take his life instantly or whatever. So now if I had to kill you, it would have been to avenge, or it would have been to satisfy my ego. It would not have been for the pleasure of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So the idea was not just to take a life. The idea was not to kill. But look at his character. Look at his sincerity. Look at his far-sightedness. That he says, no, that now my ego is coming into play. Let me leave my ego one side and set you free for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzat. If I was going to kill you, it was only for Allah, not for my desire. So this was the akhlaq of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and all the Sahaba. If you open the books of history, you open Hayat al-Sahaba, hundreds if not thousands of incidents. Now let us look at a few incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hijrat from Makkah al-Mukarramah came to Madinah Munawwara, then the Ansar, the people of Madinah Munawwara, they presented many gifts, you know, out of happiness that Rasulullah has come. You know, sometime when some new resident comes in the area, we take a gift or so for him to get close to him and to, you know, maybe make him comfortable, to welcome him. So they began to, Sahaba went and began to give, according to their means, gifts to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that my mother also wanted to present something to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But she was poor, or family was a poor family. She did not have sufficient things or means to present to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she took me, she took Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who was a child of 8 years, 8-year-old child. She took him and presented him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, I only have Anas, use him in your khidmat, at your service. For whatever you want, he will be at your service, he will make your khidmat. Now let us look at our children at age of 8. How much capable are they? They are so playful sometimes, they don't realize. Sometimes we have to keep on reminding them so many things. But nevertheless, let us look at what happened thereafter. So, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says that, by the qasam of Allah, not once did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell me uff or akh, or, you know, like a sign or a word or some statement of disapproval. And then he says, wallahi, in the 10 years I served him, from the age of 8 till 18, that was approximately 10 years, he says, that not once did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell me, oh Anas, why did you do this like this, when I was not supposed to do it in that way? Oh Anas, why didn't you do it like this, when I was supposed to do it in that way? He says, 10 years I served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not once did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever scold me, ever shout me, or ever question me regarding what I did, or when he sent me on an errand, why I did not carry it out in the way he asked me to do so. Now, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu further narrates an incident. He says that one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that, oh Anas, go and do this certain work. He gave me a task to do, a job to do. He said, oh Anas, go and carry out this work. So I told him, I'm not going to do it. Now, he's a young boy, so he's not accountable for his actions, number one. And number two, Hazrat Anas says, in my heart, I knew very well that I cannot disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will have to carry it out. But I just told him that to see what his reaction would be. And then I left the home to go and carry out the action. But I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, no, I'm not going to do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even utter anything, no sign of disapproval, no frown on his face, nothing. No curse, you know, today you tell a child something, and then how the parents, if the child doesn't do it, the parents start cursing like this and like that, and you like this, and you like this, and you like that. Say, no disapproval, no remarks, no curse, nothing. So Hazrat Anas says, I went out to carry out this work, and then as I passed on the streets, I saw some children were playing, so I stopped for a few moments looking at them, started talking to them, and then behind me all of a sudden I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming, probably to carry out that task, that job, that chore, whatever. So he asked, oh Anas, where are you going? He said, oh Prophet of Allah, you sent me for a work, so I'm going to do that. He says then, that Rasulullah was so happy that there was no sign of dissatisfaction or angry or anything. Rasulullah rather gave me du'as, because he knew that I went out to carry it out and I just said those words out of jest to see his reaction, to see his approval. But the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his akhlaq was of such a character, of such a level, that there was no disapproval, there was no scolding, there was not even, you know, like how we'll make a certain sound with our mouth, or we'll frown, or what, there was no disapproval whatsoever. He said, this was my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once when some captives were brought, then certain captives were such that they had caused such harm. They were leaders of the tribe, leaders of the people. They had caused so much of harm. that the command was there out, if they were captured, they must be killed. So at times it was like that, the command. At times Rasulullah would capture them, and then they would be taken as slaves. At times they would be given an option. So once there was a great, very, very big leader of his tribe, Thumama ibn Uthal. He was captured by the Muslims. Now, being a great leader, an influential person, a noble person in his society, in his rankings, he was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him some dawat and told him, Ya Thumama, aslim taslam. He said, oh Thumama, you are such an influential person, you are such an intelligent person. You accept Islam, you'll be at peace, all your problems will be solved, no one will trouble you, just accept Islam. So he immediately retorted and he gave his answer. He said, in taqtul za damin wa in tun'im ala shakir. He said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you're going to kill me, then the people of my tribe, they will take revenge, and blood for blood, they will start a fight. That is one meaning of what he meant. And there's another meaning also, that I am here at your disposal. I've got no other option. If you kill me, my life, my blood is in your hands. I have no choice of running away. I cannot escape. Nevertheless, he made that statement, and then he also said, but if you forgive, you overlook, you're kind, if you are grateful, then I'll be appreciative also. So Rasulullah SAW told the Sahaba that this is an influential person. We are told that our captives, we have to treat them well. So he must be tied in the masjid, but all his needs must be taken care of. Now, compare the jailing systems of today and the jail of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The prison, the masjid was the prison. He was tied to a pillar for 3 consecutive days. And he would be released when it was time for him to have his meals. And when he needed to relieve himself, he would be released. Now in today's time, what are the conditions of the prisons? What are the conditions of the food that is served? Nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his akhlaq, he taught us that even if a man is a prisoner, even if a man is a slave, then too, and not only that, if a person is working for us, then we must also feed them from what we eat, make them drink from what we drink, clothe them from our clothing, give them a place to stay if we can. We have to look after the people under our care. So coming back to this incident, he was tied, and the second day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes up to him again and tells him the same thing, that Ya Thumama, aslim taslam, accept Islam, then all your problems will be solved, you'll be at peace, you'll be at ease, there won't be any difficulty for you, you'll have a good life. And he retorts, he gives the same jawab, the same reply, that, oh Muhammad, if you kill me, you'll kill a person whose blood is there to be avenged. And if you are kind, if you do a favor over me, then I'll be appreciative, I'll be thankful to you, I'll be grateful to you. Come the third day, the same thing happens. After 3 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands the Sahaba, now this person must be released. He must not be kept in captivity anymore. He was given the opportunity. He did not accept Islam, but we are to free him now. So he left the masjid. He goes to a nearby river. He takes a bath and he comes back into the masjid and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So now the Sahaba are more perplexed, more surprised that the man was in captivity. At that time, he was under force, duress. He did not accept Islam. He went out, now he comes back, maybe someone told him something outside, or he met someone, what happened? So he tells them that if I had to accept Islam under captivity, the people would say that out of fear of my life, Thumama accepted Islam. But I left, after you released me, I left, I took a ghusl, I took a bath, and I came back to accept Islam on my own will, that I am happy to accept Islam. And he mentions, because of the akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba, the treatment that they gave him, they showed him that either a Muslim or non-Muslim, if he's a servant of Allah Rabbul Izzat, he's a human. Even the animals, Rasulullah SAW taught us about animals that we must take care. So how much more careful, how much more conscious we have to be about our fellow human beings. Whether they are Muslims or they are not Muslims, but they are, at the end of it all, they are the servants of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So this was the akhlaq of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, in one hadith, it is mentioned that Rasulullah SAW mentioned an incident about a lady who was punished. In the hereafter, she will be punished, and she was punished in this world. When she left, from the time she died, she was punished. Why? Because she had a cat. She had a cat as a pet, and she had it tied in her home. And she did not give it food, and neither did she let it roam about freely. She had it in captivity. She had it tied up, but she did not look after the animal. And Rasulullah said that this lady has been punished by Allah Subhanahu wa Taala for this. So my respected friends, my respected brothers, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there as an example for us to emulate, for us to follow, for us to bring into our lives, speak about this akhlaq to our children, to our wives, to our family members, and speak it and show it, display it. Islam is a practical way of life. People are tired of reading books. People are tired of looking here and looking there. They want to see the real Islam. By us, today Allah Pak has given us opportunities. We are living in a non-Muslim country. So much easy it is for us to become a means of the hidayat of the people. If only we tread our life, we lead our life, following the footsteps, the Mubarak footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would go to the marketplace also, then his akhlaq was of another level. That even if you would go to the marketplace, he would not shout like how generally you go to the shopping centers or you go to the CBDs or you go to the ranks and how the people shout and they shout and they call for the customers and they call. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to be like that. He used to be quiet, he used to be soft, he used to be humble, and he used to go and he used to give advices to the people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a loose person, he was not a wild person, was not a loud person, was not a vulgar person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his home also, Nabi Pak alayhi salatu wa sallam with his wives, with his children, Nabi Pak alayhi salatu wa sallam showed the best akhlaq. It is mentioned that if you want to know the akhlaq of a person, then you must ask the wife, what is the akhlaq of the person? If the wife can see that you are pious or you are good, or your akhlaq is good, your character is good, then indeed it is good. But if your wife tells your akhlaq is no good, then you must know genuinely your akhlaq is not good. So we have to take a stock of ourselves. So when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was asked about the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then she summed it in one sentence and she said, "Rikana khuluquhu al-Qur'an." The akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want to know what it is, it was the Qur'an. What did she mean by this? That Nabiya Pak alayhi salatu wa sallam did not do anything against the Qur'an. Whatever the command of Allah was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acted upon that 100%. And what were the prohibitions of Allah Rabbul Izzat? What Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala prevented Rasulullah SAW from, what were the harams? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed away from those harams also 100%. So this was the akhlaq of Rasulullah SAW, the Quran. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala make it said that the Quran Sharif becomes the guide for us. The Quran Sharif becomes our akhlaq also. That we must make such an effort that if a person, it is mentioned as the Sahaba, one of the great qualities of the Sahaba, that when they went to the foreign countries and the foreign regions, various places for the propagation of deen, and also when they went on business, then one slogan they would say, "Kunu mislana, kunu mislana, kunu mislana." The people would ask them, "What are you? Who are you? What you come for? What are you doing?" They would just say, "Become like us, become like us." And the people would say, "Yes, indeed, we want to become like you. We want to follow you. We appreciate your way of life." Like those Sahaba that went, whether it was China or Indonesia, and they went as businessmen, and suddenly they began to draw crowds in large numbers. And then the king of that time got worried and concerned. The news reached him that the people are now beginning to buy from these foreign people. They're not buying from our local market. And then they summoned the Sahaba. And then they explained the deen. And they said, "No, this is what it is. This is the way of life." And there's hundreds of thousands of people. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made it such that they became the Sahaba. Those few Sahaba became a means of hidayat and of deen becoming established in those countries. So we also, beloved friends, Allah Pak has placed us in this country. It's a non-Muslim country. But by the qasam of Allah, a day is going to come. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied that a day will come before Qiyamah when the whole world will become Muslims. Everyone will accept Islam. The whole world will accept Islam. Now how fortunate, how lucky you and I would be if Allah Rabbul Izzat accepts us and makes us as the means of the hidayat of the people. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not our bayans that are going to thrill the people. It's not our literature that's going to show, that will have so much of effect. They will get affected. They will definitely take effect. But more than that is our character, how we treat our neighbors, how we treat our friends, our colleagues, how when we come to the masjid, how we conduct ourselves in the masjid, how we park our cars, when we have our functions, how we conduct ourselves, how we behave. Who do we keep in front? Do we keep Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front, or we keep the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front and try to follow them? May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us all the true love, the true muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us from among those who will become the true essence of Islam. And like one person beautifully said, that if you cannot through your character become a means of someone accepting Islam, then do not become a means of someone turning away from Islam. May Allah Pak protect us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.